Them some mighty powerful words. Our God, your God and mine, has made us one. We are a body. And I hope that each one of us is a body of believers. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we have opportunity to set time in our busy schedule to be still. That one day a week we seek you. And I hope today we find you. God, I pray that your spirit would be moving and active in a mighty and powerful way this morning. That those that you have gathered here this morning would become one with you. That we wouldn't try to make it through this life in our own power, our own strength, our own knowledge. But we would fully rely on you. Because in you, we prevail. We have victory. We're more than conquerors. And for that, we give you our praise. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm looking at the parking lot, and I would imagine if I walked into the sanctuary, I might see people and faces I haven't seen for some time. So to catch you up, as a church, we've been looking at what it takes to be an authentic body of believers. The church that reflects Christ well is one where who the focus is and what's going on in the fellowship is most important. The characteristics of an active and growing church are where the believers, according to Acts 2:42-47, continually devote themselves to the teaching of God's word, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These people are serving one another, reaching out to those who need to know the Lord. And the Lord is adding to their number day by day. It's a good read if you want to read Acts 2. A couple weeks ago, I gave you a piece of paper and a pencil. I suggested that you put it in your visor or in the pew in front of you, and that now I hope you have it in your hand, because I lead you to good food. They're called references. So when you hear a book of the Bible and numbers that follow, you will write those down. And then throughout the week, you can get fed by the Spirit of God through the hearing and the reading of His Word. The first week of this year, we looked at what or who we were putting first as we go about our day. We saw that worry and anxiety are resolved when a lifestyle of seeking God and His kingdom and righteousness first are put into play each new day. We're not to expect God's blessing if He's not first in our life. So far this year, we've seen that a Christ-centered life is one that's focused upon a commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord. We love Him with all of our heart, and our decisions in life must be carefully looked at. We must answer, what or who am I putting first? Are the daily decisions in your life giving priority to God's kingdom and His righteousness? This is where the real issue lies. Will we walk by faith in Christ alone, or will we walk by the sight and by the wisdom of our human nature? When we implement what God's word says to do, we become more than conquerors. We have victory in whatever this world throws our way. There is no circumstance beyond the power of Jesus Christ. We've heard of a man who's going through, whose life is a wreck right now. And what is awesome is he brings his request to us here at Christ's Little Talpahawken Church. I've preached for years, my house will be a house of prayer. And the community is learning that we pray for one another. And we get to see God's answered prayer. God will use us when we make ourselves open and available and obedient. We've been commissioned by God to take His message to the nations. The nations begin at Redner's. They begin at the post office. They begin wherever God has you planted. God calls you and me, or rather it's God's call to you and me, is that we take His message, that we be active in spreading His message of salvation and hope to a world that's perishing. There's a sea of houses right over there that potentially have never heard the name of Jesus. How will they know unless someone preaches to them? I can't wait until the tent's back up so we can have big speakers out broadcasting into the airwaves. Because what I understand in God's Word, His Word doesn't return empty. It accomplishes what He set it out to do, and He uses people like you and me to fulfill that. You and I are to be soul winners and witnesses right now. And last week, this is what we've looked at since the beginning of the year. Last week, we saw that true worship of God is not confined to what we do in church for an hour a week. True worship is the acknowledgement of God and His power and His glory in everything we do. The highest form of praise and worship we can offer to God is obedience to Him and His Word. Worship is a lifestyle. We should be praising God all the days of our lives in fellowship with God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. A life of Christ is made up of sweet fellowship with Him, with God our Father, through the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Bible, we see verses that reveal the intimate relationship we can have with God, that we have access to through the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The privilege of this relationship we can have with Him can only be understood when we come to understand the sorry, sinful state our life was in before coming to Jesus. The Bible is clear that without a relationship with Christ, we're in a bad place. You don't want to be there. And if you're there, you don't want to stay there. Pencils up, paper ready. Ephesians chapter 2 and 4. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 explains that we were, listen, dead in our trespasses and sin, separate from Christ, without God, excluded from a life with God. These are a must read if you want to be in fellowship with God. Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 4. Go back one book to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. You'll see in verse 8, we didn't know God. I'm not making this up. It's in the book. In the book. John 3:36 warns the wrath. The wrath of God was upon us. This is the state we were in before Jesus. This is the state you're in without Jesus. It's the truth. The truth of God's word is we were spiritually helpless and our condition was hopeless before coming to Jesus. But then, we read in Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, we read of our hope. This is what we're talking about every week, and we should be talking about every day. We read from Paul, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly, that's you and me. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for you and for me. That's the truth of God's Word. When we come to Jesus, the state of our being changes. That's our sinful nature changes. 1 John 2:12. Might want to write that down so you can read the whole chapter this week. 1 John 2:12 tells us we receive the forgiveness of sins. Check it out. And Romans 5:10 and 11 speaks of reconciliation with God. That's bringing about a restoration of our relationship that God intends to have with us. We don't have to go through this life alone. He wants to be in relationship with us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It explains how we gain a standing of righteousness. Why? Because Jesus became sin for us. Read the whole chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In Acts 2:38-39, we find the instruction to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that we invite to be present here. The gift of the Holy Spirit. How do you gain it? Repent. Be baptized. 2 Corinthians 5:17, another book in the New Testament, a good read this week, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, makes it clear that in Christ we become new creatures. The old sinful way of life is gone. The new has come. Are you walking in the newness of life with Christ? Why is it that we have access to and the freedom to mine all the information in this book that can change our life and our living for the better? And we leave it on the table. I'll tell you why. Because as much as there is a God who loves us and wants to have intimate fellowship with us, there's one also in this world who shall remain nameless, that wants to keep us ignorant of the personal and intimate knowledge of God and His Son and the new life He will bring. One of the greatest privileges we have as new creatures in Christ is fellowship with God. This fellowship is to be experienced more than 1 hour a day, one time a week. We have access to moment-by-moment fellowship with our Savior in the same way Jesus had with His Father while He was on the planet. In the past, I've encouraged you to read the book of John in the first hand, like you're walking down the street with Him, that you're sitting right next to Him. For instance, when you read chapter 14, you can eavesdrop on the conversation He had with the disciples. Put yourself in the scenario. He's in the upper room. And this is what He says at verses 6 and 11. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you know Him. You've seen Him. One of the disciples, Philip, said, Lord, show us the Father. That'll be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who sees me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who's doing His work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least At least believe the evidence of the works themselves. That same night, accounted in John 17, that's two chapters later, in verses 21 through 26, we get to hear the prayer of the Lord Jesus in the garden before he goes to the cross, and he's praying for himself, he's praying for his disciples, and then this blows me away. He prays for those who would believe. You and me. And this is what he says. I pray also for those who will believe me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you have given me, that they may be one as we're one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Did you get that? Or was it too many words? Read 1 John 17 over and over again until you hear it, until you get it. We may be in God the Father and in Jesus Christ the Son. And get this. Hold on to the pew in front of you. Grab your seatbelt. Hang on to it. Get this. Jesus will be in us. Some things in God's Word are hard to comprehend. This is simple. I and the Father are one through what Jesus Christ accomplished. What we're going to celebrate in 2 weeks. In His death, I have life. There is no closer relationship to be had on this planet. And the Lord wants the same intimacy to prevail in the body of believers. The body of believers who are in Him. He's in us. John 14 speaks of the intimate fellowship we may have with the Father and the Son. But more importantly, it also shows our responsibility in continuing this fellowship. There's a little bit of work we have to do. I'm equipping you. And hopefully you're doing the work. Verses 15 through 17 of John 14 says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I'll ask the Father, and He'll give you another advocate to help, and will be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Jesus says that we are to love Him. And this love will be displayed in our obedience to His commands. Jesus makes it clear that the one who keeps the commandment is the one who really loves Him. Do you really love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your whatever the verse says? I'm human. I don't know it all. But I get the gist. I love God. Not because of anything He does for me day to day, but because what He's done for me, He died for me. The least I can do is live for Him. Because of our love and our obedience, verse 21 of the same chapter 14 says three things will happen. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by the Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. John 14, 21. If we love Jesus, what will the Father do, church? He'll love us. Not only will the Father love the obedient believer, Jesus also says, I too will love him. And he goes on to make this additional promise. I will show myself to them. Are you seeing God's hand moving in a mighty and powerful way? We are not to expect God's blessing when he's not first in our life. Jesus makes himself known to the one who loves and obeys him. When we do, verse 23 says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Okay, I'm going to read that again. John 14, 23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will make our home with them. The Father and the Son will abide with those that faithfully and obediently obey his teaching. To abide means we keep an open line of communication with the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And when we do, listen, we're empowered to stand against opposition, to endure, to hold fast when the evil forces of this world come up against us. There's a pastor, coach, teacher that's in fire right now. And this is when we stand. We've been taught, stay close to me and I'll stay close to you. And we leave it on the table. To abide in Christ, we're to see to it that sin, anything that goes against God's word, is not allowed to take up residence in us to cause a separation from him. We're to maintain unbroken fellowship with him. Looking to him entirely, looking to Christ entirely as our source of wisdom and strength. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the guy that's going before me. And because of that, I will prevail. I will be victorious because I fully rely on him. Doing this allows us to cast our burdens on him, which results in a more productive lifestyle. Worship the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and you will have a productive life. God calls us to come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ, to be forgiven of sin, and to have fellowship, unending fellowship with him. He wants us to enjoy an intimate and satisfying relationship that will never end. When you come to him through Jesus, you become part of a new adventure, a new fellowship, a new life that can be used by God. Speaking from experience, it is so worth it. I'll close with 1 John 2, 3 through 6. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. This is what we're called to do. To be an authentic body of believers, we must live as Jesus did. Let's pray. Father, You have called us to be in intimate fellowship with You. And this world and those evil spirits that live in it want us to have nothing to do with that. God, I pray that You would pierce the darkness, that You would remove the scales from our eyes, that You would give us excellent hearing to recognize that still small, small voice of You saying, come, follow Me. I know the way. Walk in these ways. Let us learn to stand on the truth of God's word, that You promised to go before us, that You'll never leave nor forsake us. God, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know You do. Teach us to trust You. Teach us to be obedient to You. God, I pray for this church, that we would be united through You, that we would reflect You well in all we do, say, and think. I ask all these things in the matchless power of Jesus' name. Amen.